Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket Kim talked a little bit about the COVID situation in the NFL. I've just found that, listeners of this genre and consumers of sports talk are not really into talking about COVID at this period of time. We're all reminded of it all the time, inundated by it, and of course it impacts sports as well. We see the Ravens and Steelers game moved. There's a lot of widespread COVID in the NFL right now. I'm surprised, to be honest, they made it this far without more issues arising. You're starting to see more and more chatter about pausing the season and the like, but I don't see that happening anymore, barring disaster. I think they're just going to continue to fiddle and move around the schedule. Talked about the Tampa game against the Chiefs tomorrow. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT against the baby GOAT. And really about the interesting paradox of the Brady situation in Tampa this year, where Tom Brady has, I think by all measures, been a success there, considering he's played pretty well at age 43 on a new team. At the same time, it's his limitations that may keep them from going over the top, even if it's his presence that has put them in that position in the first place. Sort of an interesting paradox. And the feud between, feud is a little bit strong, but maybe any friction between Bruce Arians, the head coach there, and Brady. Arians has criticized him publicly on a couple of occasions this season. It's been almost surprising to see. Talked a little bit about Thanksgiving NFL and whether that's the superior sports holiday tradition to the NBA on Christmas. And a little bit about the Roy Jones, Mike Tyson exhibition, whatever you want to call it, that is taking place tonight. So if you want to weigh in on any of those, you can on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, which is sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Again, that's 855-212-4227. But this is the time of the show where I make my NFL picks for the week. What was the record again, Anthony?
3-3 last week.
And overall?
32-31.
32-31. So 63 games picked, one game over 500. I've got some more to pick today. Let's do it.
He's crunched the numbers, used careful analysis, and is now ready to lay down the dough. Here's Robin Lundberg with his gridiron picks of the week.
All right, I will start with the Cardinals -2 over the Patriots. You know, I've come to the realization the Patriots just stink. You know, there's been... You could look back and say if one play had gone differently for them against Seattle If Cam didn't fumble against Buffalo, maybe their season is in a different place. But I saw them barely squeak by the Jets. They lost to the Texans in their last game. They've lost to the Broncos. They are not the worst team in the league, but they're certainly middle of the pack at best, and probably a little bit worse than that. And it's funny because Cam Newton hasn't even played poorly, that poorly at least. I mean, he's not been exemplary or anything, but he looks better to me than he did when last seen in Carolina. And in some of these games, I think has been the reason that the Patriots are actually hanging around in the game. Meanwhile, the Cardinals, you know, they need to make sure they keep that ship on track for the playoffs. They're not out of the, you know, it's not out of the question that they could still win the division. That's within the realm of possibilities. I don't think it happens, but it's not out of the question. And then Kyler Murray is just been electrifying this season, and is the type of quarterback that has given Bill Belichick teams trouble in recent history. So that combination of factors, I'll take the Cardinals -2 over the Patriots. I'll go with the Chiefs -3.5 over the Buccaneers. You know, I pick the Chiefs every week. I think I've lost with the Chiefs the last 2 weeks. But that's not going to stop me from following the overall trend, which is picking Kansas City has been a winner more often than it has been a loser. The Buccaneers, you know, I've talked about it at length on the show so far, but when they've faced a higher level competition, they have not looked as impressive, especially as of late. I mean, they did have some big wins early in the season. That they beat the Packers 38-10. So I'm going to make sure, you know, I'm not... They beat the Raiders pretty soundly, who are a solid team. But the last two that I've seen, the Saints and the Rams, obviously the most recent ones, when you couple that with the Giants game, just not impressive performances overall in three of the last 4 weeks. And they're facing a different animal in the Kansas City Chiefs, who, of course, I think are the best team in the league. You know, the Steelers, all due respect to what they've accomplished this year, when you go in thinking it's Kansas City, when Kansas City's coming off the Super Bowl, when Kansas City's got the best player, and when Kansas City remains 9-1 on the season, and again, to me, the most staggering stat is, as a starter, Patrick Mahomes has not lost by more than 8 points. I think that combination is enough for me to go with the Kansas City Chiefs -3.5 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll take the Seahawks -5.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, the Seahawks are not a perfect team, but they win a lot more games than they lose. 7-3 so far on the season this year. They got that big win against the Cardinals in their last game. Haven't played since then. That was, you know, they've had a little bit of time off since that game was played. And they should be, that was on Thursday night, right? So they have a couple extra days as a result to get ready for this one. And as much as there may be some, you know, struggles for the Seahawks defensively, though they played well defensively against the Cardinals, are the Eagles the team that's going to exploit that? The Eagles have looked horrible in recent weeks. Their quarterback has looked horrible. It's almost like Carson Wentz is Jalen Hurts' agent or something at this point. It's surprising. I never was as high on Carson Wentz as some other people were, to be quite frank, but I didn't see this. I didn't see him having a season as poor as he's having right now. So I just got to go with the Seahawks in that one to beat the Eagles by a touchdown. Seahawks -5.5 over Philly. I'll take the Bears -4.5 over the Chargers. This is interesting because I was looking up a lot of Justin Herbert stats this week because, you know, Justin Herbert's on pace to do all these things, like rookie record for completions, rookie record for passing yards, rookie record for passing touchdowns, all that stuff Justin Herbert's on track for. Yet they're still 3-7. And I don't say that as an indictment on Herbert. You know, he's played well regardless. And you know, you usually get drafted by a bad team. That's how a good quarterback gets into the league most more often than not. But the Chargers, you know, those wins are against the Bengals, the Jaguars, and the Jets. So their three wins are against the Bengals, the Jaguars, and the Jets. The Bills are a step up from that. So despite how well Herbert has played, it hasn't resulted in wins. So when you see a matchup against a team like Buffalo, who is having a very good season, you know, I'm going to have to lean with the Bills. -4.5 over the Chargers. I'll go with the Giants. -6.5 over the Bengals. This one's a little, you know, these next two are just kind of like gut feeling games. But one of the things that I look at is sometimes when a number seems too high, like should the Giants be giving 6.5 points to anybody? I know Burrow's out and that changes things dramatically for Cincinnati for the worse. So the line was going to move as a result of that anyway. But the Giants just don't feel like 6.5 point favorites against anybody, which makes me think to take them. It's like counter. It's like, you know, don't fall for the okie doke. All right, they can't be 6.5 point favorites. I'll go with the Bengals anyway because they're playing the Giants. Shouldn't be getting that many points. Nah, I'll go the other way and take the Giants -6.5. Giants have actually played fairly well as of late, especially. They've won 3 of their last 5 games. They should have beat the Buccaneers, but they beat Washington, then they lost to the Eagles by a point. They lost to the Bucs by 2 points, then they beat Washington again by a field goal, and then they beat the Eagles by 10. So the Giants have played reasonably well for the most part all season. There's been a lot of games that they let slip away where they've played a little bit better than their record. They're certainly not a good team, but they're a competitive team. And with Joe Burrow being out for the Bengals, I think, you know, this is an opportunity for the Giants to make a run in that glorious NFC East. So I'll take the Giants -6.5 over the Bengals. And finally, I'll go with the Titans +3 over the Colts. I've probably not given Indianapolis enough credit. I mean, their record is what it is at this point in the season. You can't take that away from them. They've had an excellent season to get to 7-3. They're fresh off a win over the Green Bay Packers. They beat the Titans fairly soundly the week before that. So that's you know, if that's an indicator, then the Colts are in good shape. But they're shorthanded on defense in this one. They'll be without 3 defensive starters versus the Titans, which makes me think Tennessee will score the ball a little bit better than the 17 they managed against the Colts a couple weeks ago. And there's just something about this game that screams field goal to me. I don't know what it is. Colts, Titans, this week of the season, November 28th, 29th tomorrow. I could see this one easily coming down to the final possession for either of those teams in a tough, like, 23-20 kind of game, 27-24, that kind of range. So to recap, again, the Cardinals, -2 over the Patriots. The Chiefs, -3.5 over the Buccaneers. The Seahawks, -5.5 over the Eagles. The Bills, -4.5 over the Chargers. The Giants, -6.5 over the Bengals. And the Titans, +3 over the Colts. And those are my NFL picks for the week. What is this, week 12, technically? We in week 12 of the NFL season? Yep, week 12, officially. I just looked it up. Congratulations to me. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 if you want to get in on the conversation. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter as well. That's RobinLundberg. And, you know, I guess it feels like a little bit lighter NFL schedule this week, which would make sense because the Steelers and the Ravens game was moved to Tuesday. So it's not happening this weekend. And there were 2 Thursday night games. But you look at the slate, Chargers, Bills is sort of interesting. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert at 1 o'clock. Titans, Colts, which I just mentioned, is a pretty good game on paper. But not too many marquee games this week, notwithstanding, of course, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, which is in that 425 slot. The Sunday night game is the Bears and the Packers. Some division rivalry implications, but as far as just being a completely appealing matchup, not so much this season. I think clearly it's Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Then when you have the Ravens and Steelers, that would be the other one. But nobody knows when that game's going to be played. Like you almost forget it's even, you know, Tuesday. I don't hate the idea, especially, you know, since basketball hasn't started yet. NBA basketball, that is. And the calendar's all goofy anyway. I haven't minded these random NFL games popping up on other days of the week. It's another thing to you know, keep you occupied on one of these nights. So if they can get that Steelers-Ravens game in on Tuesday, sure, why not? But it will be RG3 in at quarterback for that one, by the way, because Lamar Jackson is on is positive for COVID-19, so he'll have to miss at least that game, and hope everything's all right with him and everybody within that Ravens organization. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Get further into this Sunday and this weekend and the current situation in the NFL coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin Lundberg here with you on CBS Sports Radio, hence The Robin Lundberg Show. Time to talk some NFL for this weekend, and I'm joined now by John McClain, national NFL writer, reporter for the Houston Chronicle. Actually, John, before we go forward to this weekend, let's look back for a second. A couple of the games just played on Thursday, but Deshaun Watson has really played well as of late. I think it went under the radar for a minute because the team had struggled for much of the season, and there was the coaching change and everything. But what have you seen from Watson as of late, and how does it project forward, do you think, for the Texans?
Well, Robin, is not of late. He's been playing his way for 9 games, going back to Pittsburgh in the third game of the season. In those 9 games, he has 22 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a 118.4 rating. And over those 9 games, the only rating he's had less than 109 was in hazardous weather in Cleveland when he was 102. Hasn't thrown an interception in 6 games, has 15 touchdowns and a rating of 121. So he's played great. Problem is, he can't run the ball. They've struggled on defense most of the season. But their record, Robin, is a byproduct of their schedule. Their teams they have lost to are 50-20. And that includes 4 division leaders, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Green Bay, and Tennessee. Now they're starting to play some teams kind of like teams their own size.
Yeah, obviously the Lions are even below them, right? Or far below almost everybody at this point. They got that nice win over the Patriots a couple weeks ago. The Colts, Bears, Colts, Bengals, and Titans to finish the season. Now, one game that didn't play on Thanksgiving was the Steelers-Ravens game, and that's been moved a couple times. John, I'm actually surprised, to be honest. I guess pleasantly surprised that the NFL has managed to have the season it has had given the current circumstances. I actually thought the schedule disruptions might be worse, but it feels like the numbers, or we know the numbers are at an all-time high, and it feels like the numbers around the NFL are high as well. Do you think this is more of the same, or they can just sort of push the kick the can down the road a little bit and tweak the schedule, or do you think there is legitimate concern within the league about where we are with COVID right now?
I think the NFL's done a tremendous job of navigating COVID-19, a lot of juggling going on in the league office, and that game is a great example. I don't know how we're going to avoid having to play that extra week, because all the medical experts say COVID-19 is going to continue to get worse. Something that concerns me about the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, Baltimore had a blatant violation of protocols by one of their strength and rehab people that they've not disclosed. And they said that they had disciplined this guy. It's kind of like a college program that puts itself on probation before the posse gets to town to really get him. And if that one guy, who they said in the report, took off his bracelet, his tracking device, and didn't wear his mask like he was supposed to, that is a blatant violation of protocol that could be the cause of that outbreak. And I'm surprised the NFL is doing everything it can to help the Ravens. And I don't blame the Steelers for being upset when they've done everything they're supposed to do. And now they've been affected 2 times by other teams having this issue. And, of course, we now have our first starting quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and I don't know if he'll be able to play Tuesday. He would not have played Sunday, but the league is really bending over backward for the Ravens, and it's causing some conflicts with other teams, and I think they'll pull it off. And one reason, Robin, is because they're negotiating extensions of the network television contracts, and they want to get this done in the off season, and they don't want any more disruptions than they have. I imagine how much it costs NBC not to have that game, primetime game on Thanksgiving. And so there's a motive to this besides just the show must go on, is they are trying to negotiate a deal that will be worth multiple billions.
Well, even if there was a forfeit, I read that the players wouldn't get paid, which obviously would be detrimental to everybody involved. And then on top of that, let's say if there was a forfeit, right? Then what if the Steelers go undefeated and people go, well, yeah, one of those games was a forfeit, or the Ravens missed the playoffs by one game and one of those games is a forfeit. So they've been able to sort of, you know, like you said, juggle the schedule. I guess, you know, Lamar Jackson will be out on Tuesday. He could be back for the following, but they had to move that Thursday game to a Monday. And as long as they have the calendar on their side and the ability to do that, I think that seems to be their preferred method of keeping, one, an outbreak contained, and then, two, keeping the season on track.
Well, first of all, they're not going to be a forfeit. There's no way the NFL is going to have a forfeit. Number one, forfeit wasn't covered in the negotiations with the union. The union wouldn't stand for that. They might have a cancellation, and then one team that got hit by COVID might be 10-5 and another 10-6, and the 10-5 would get in the playoffs over the 10-6 because of a better percentage. That wouldn't be fair at all. Back in 1982, they played 9 games during the season, and they increased the playoff field, which was very exciting at the time. I was covering the NFL then, and people got pumped to have so many teams in the playoffs because they'd seen so little football during the season. So, you know, they could move the Super Bowl back. The Super Bowl, every city that gets a Super Bowl has to keep every Sunday available in that in February for an act of God. And so they could move the Super Bowl back to the end of February if they wanted to, but they're trying to keep everything on course. They've done a great job with a few minor changes so far, and I think they will continue to do that because they plan for everything before the season. And if they have to play one extra weekend, the 18th weekend, why not?
Robin Lundberg talking to John McClain, national NFL writer, reporter for the Houston Chronicle here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, the big matchup this weekend is the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. And I'll talk to you about Tom Brady real quick, because I think it's sort of a paradox in a sense, where I believe Brady's time in Tampa has already been a success if you're measuring it by, can he still play and can he play away from New England? You know, the answers to those things are yes. And his presence has probably elevated Tampa into the conversation of playoff teams, where they were 7-9 last year. Yet it seems to be his limitations now that they're there that are coming into focus more often if there's pressure up the middle and particularly throwing the deep ball. How would you assess where Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are right now?
They've been blown out the last two home games. Bad karma, since they have a losing record since they signed Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is karma. I think, truthfully, Brady's got 25 touchdown passes. He's shown he can still play. But he's gone to a new system that's totally opposite of what he played in New England. Everything in New England was about making quick decisions, getting rid of the ball fast, throwing on time, being very accurate. And he's tried to mesh that system with Bruce Arians. Deep drops, hold the ball, let the receivers get open down the field. A lot of times, send out every receiver. It's almost like Brady has too many options. He didn't have that at the Patriots. He has better receivers now than he had in his whole time in New England. And they've had some injury issues, but, you know, Gronk has not been a factor like he was. Chris Godwin's been hurt. Mike Evans has not been used as much as he was with Jameis Winston. So it's almost like you go into a buffet and you're starving. You have so many different things you want to eat. You're not exactly sure how much you should eat of this or eat of that. And you think time into the season that he would have a better handle on that. But he's thrown some bad passes, made some bad decisions. I think as we all get older, we make some bad decisions, and we're not having guys trying to take our head off. So I think they are a factor, of course. I don't think they're as good as the Saints. They proved that two times, and I still think the Saints are the best team in the NFC, and I think Kansas City will win this game handily because the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL.
I agree with that. Speaking of the Saints, what are your thoughts on the Taysom Hill experiment thus far?
Well, thus far, they're 1-0. He looked good. It says a lot about Sean Payton and his coaching staff and his talent and his defense that in two seasons of 6-0 without Drew Brees. Sean Payton's a great coach. He's been around a long time. If he loves Taysom Hill, why would anybody doubt the guy?
Yeah, it's funny, right? Like, so many people were pretending that they probably knew better than what he does, watching him in practice all the time.
It is funny. I remember reading something last week, I think it was by Jeff Duncan from The Athletic, who's covered them for years, saying if you had talked a few years ago when Hill got there, that Sean Payton loved talking about the guy and the possibilities and things he had in store for him. And it's all come to fruition. And Payton knows what he's doing. And if he thinks Hill is the guy over Jameis Winston, why would anybody disagree with Sean Payton based on his track record?
I mean, there's no reason to at this point. And through 1 week, it's looked pretty good for Sean Payton's team. John, really appreciate your time, as always. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Robin, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend and stay safe.
Miss any of the show? Catch up with the Robin Lundberg podcast, available all week on the weekend page at cbssportsradio.com.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. About to get to every topic I have not in just a minute. I want to get to a couple of you before. One note before I get to another one also. Did you know today Vanderbilt will have women's soccer player Sarah Fuller be its place kicker? She'll become the first woman to participate in a Power 5 football game. It's interesting. She will be kicking for Vanderbilt today. They've cycled through kickers. They've had some COVID issues there. I don't think there is a men's soccer team at Vanderbilt right now. So she's going to make a little history. Sarah Fuller. Be interesting to see how she does. I remember that topic came up, when there was the question about a women's kicker in the NFL. And look, if you could do the job, you could do the job. And I think, obviously soccer translates in a lot of ways to place kicking. So we'll see. And we know college kickers haven't been historically great. But congratulations to Sarah Fuller, first woman to play in a Power 5 football game. Will happen later today. Let's go to Daryl in Seattle. Daryl, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me on. Just wanted to say, I think the guy that last spoke that said it's kind of like a buffet, I thought that was a very great analogy for the Brady thing. I mean, here's the thing. I think even with a veteran, talented Brady, I'm like the only one that feels like they're better without Antonio Brown. It's kind of like a relationship. Sometimes you got to let things just flow, and when you force something, it just doesn't work. The Bucs started off, they were just on their way up a mountain. And there's got to be a little bit of frustration when you have someone like Evans, who is a thorough competitively receiver that's very reliable. And then when Brown comes in, he hasn't contributed enough yet to be in a position to get some of these game-winning, game-time balls thrown to him. So, I don't know. I just feel like the Bucs are better without him. What do you think?
Well, they have been better. They were better when he wasn't playing. I don't know if that's a cause and effect thing or just a coincidence thing. He's been targeted more. He was targeted more in Week 11 than either Godwin or Mike Evans. So if that is part of it, throwing them off rhythm a little bit, we'll hear something about that at some point. Somebody will say something. But it's an intriguing theory. I don't know if it's actually true in practice. There hasn't been anything negative from Antonio Brown since he got there, or like that's obvious when you point to, but they have not been quite the same team in the last few games, and he's getting just as many targets than just as many targets as those guys are getting. So maybe that, you know, force feeding him could be going the opposite direction.
Well, even the last game they played, I mean, Brown burned his opponent, was wide open, gets the ball thrown, and he drops it, and that was a touchdown. So it's just the little things like that. Would Evans have dropped that ball? I doubt it. I don't know. It's just my opinion. I'm the outcast for it, but I appreciate you taking my call.
No, you got it. Let's go to Steve in Indianapolis. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Robin. Enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
I'm just curious. A few weeks ago, the Packers played the 49ers on a Thursday night game. How come they didn't like move that back to like a Tuesday or something?
Well, they didn't have a COVID outbreak.
There was like San Francisco had like 8 or 9 people that couldn't play because of COVID.
Well, the problem with the Ravens, again, is that, you know, it's now moving into the players, and they keep having, like, the NFL has certain protocols that they're following and thresholds that they have for these games. And, you know, at first with the Ravens, it wasn't players, and then it became players, and then there's a positive, more positive test every day. They're waiting till they get negative tests. They're waiting till they can contact trace all these things. I mean, it's not like they're favoring one team over another. It makes no sense. They have no upshot in that.
Well, I would hope not, but it seems like the Steelers keep getting on the wrong end of the stick on all this.
Here was their explanation for, you know, that specifically. They played without, you know, the 49ers played without some of those guys, but they said they were able to identify and isolate the few cases and were confident that there was no longer concern for spread among either team. So that was the reason why that 49ers game was not delayed, versus this situation they say is counter to that, where there is an ongoing spread, more new positives among the players and staff, so they're not able to isolate, they're not able to contact trace, they're not able to confidently say it's been contained. So that's really the difference, and that's directly from the NFL. I just looked at, as you were talking, I looked it up to get the official statement from the NFL and their spokesperson, and that is what he had to say. And appreciate the call, appreciate all the interaction on the show as always. 855-212-4227 if you want to get in before we're done. But first, it's time for another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, Anthony, what's up first, man?
All right, so on Wednesday, Doug Peterson was initially hesitant to say Carson Wentz is his starter on Monday night.
You're not making that move, right, Doug, to a different quarterback?
Not today on Wednesday, no.
Okay, possibly for Monday?
I'm focused right now on getting better today. I mean, okay. We're looking – I don't know. I mean, I would say no.
Carson's your starter for Monday?
Yes.
So what do you think, Robin? Has Peterson given up on Carson Wentz?
That did not sound like somebody who's supremely confident. He's like, I guess he's starting. I guess. Yeah. You want me to say, all right. You know what it was? It was somebody who's wrestling with the decision, but realizes what the headlines are going to be if he doesn't commit to Carson Wentz, and then made that calculation probably in his head in that moment. But how could he be confident in Carson Wentz right now? I mean, there's just no way. Carson Wentz has played poorly this year. There's no way around it. He has just as many interceptions as he does touchdowns, 14 picks to 14 touchdown passes. He's completing under 60% of his passes, which is a low number in today's NFL. His yards per game are the lowest of his career. The Eagles are not good. You know, Jalen Hurts, I have not seen Jalen Hurts at the NFL level. I don't know what they've seen from Jalen Hurts at the NFL level, so I can't tell you with a degree of confidence that Jalen Hurts would just go in there and succeed. But I can tell you with a degree of confidence that Carson Wentz has not. And that's what you heard from Doug Peterson there. I mean, it's like the Eagles have basically been handed the NFC East on a silver platter this season, but they can't take it. And it's not all on Carson Wentz. You know, Carson Wentz doesn't have a ton of talent around him offensively. So therefore, he's trying to make things happen maybe more often than he should. You get that. But we're now, you know, 10 games into the season. He's played 10 games. And the returns are what they are. And Carson Wentz has been bad this season. There's just no way around it. What's next?
Another one.
Matt Patricia survived the Black Friday after another bad loss for the Lions, falling to the Texans on Thanksgiving, 41-25. The owner and GM have not responded to any requests to clarify Patricia's standing with the organization. Do you think Patricia will make it through the season?
You know, like, at this point, does it really matter whether it's the season or after the season? He's not going to be the coach next year. I mean, that's almost a certainty at this point. What do you accomplish by firing him? Clearly, if you want to make the decision, you want to give somebody else a chance to coach them the remainder of the year, fine. I just don't, you know, does it matter? I guess I don't care enough about it for it to matter to me. If you're a Lions fan, maybe you just want to see the change now. But I just don't know. You know, he's 13-29-1. The records speaks for itself. He's lost more games in less than three seasons than Jim Caldwell lost in his four as the Lions coach. So compared to his predecessor, he's been much worse. But they got five games left, and their season's over. So do you gain a lot by firing him before the last five games? Do you gain anything more than you would if you did it at the end of the season? I don't really think so. What's next?
Another one.
So it's been a wild NBA offseason. A lot of teams have done a great job of upgrading their rosters. You look at Portland, they added Robert Covington, Derrick Jones Jr., Enes Kanter. Of course, the Lakers with Schroeder and Harrell, Marcus Gasol, Wesley Matthews. The Hawks bolstered their supporting cast around Trae Young. Which team do you think has had the best offseason?
I think you have to say the Lakers. I mean, there are other – I mean, the Hawks are an intriguing one. The Suns are an interesting one, getting Chris Paul. But when the defending champs get definitively better, I don't know how you say anybody else but them. I mean, the Lakers got Dennis Schroeder, who gives them that scoring punch, as does Harrell. They didn't really have scoring punch consistently beyond LeBron and AD last year. They replaced Danny Green with Wes Matthews, so they don't lose that perimeter defender. They get Marcus Gasol to take the place of Dwight Howard to give them that big body who can also stretch the floor as a shooter and is a gifted passer, even though he's well past his prime, of course, at this point. And they brought KCP back, who they really needed to bring back. So I think that they got a squad that aligns more with Anthony Davis's timeline. You know, Schroeder and Harrell can be on that timeline. They got a squad that is deeper so that they're not so reliant on LeBron James all the time. They got a squad that will give them consistent bench scoring, which they didn't have a year ago. And, you know, they didn't lose anything. Because even the guys they lost, they replaced. So it's tough not to say the Los Angeles Lakers, who entered the season, I think, as the prohibitive favorites to repeat, barring any moves from here and opening night. What's next?
Another one.
So Patriots take on the Cardinals this weekend. During his press conference on Wednesday, Bill Belichick had some high praise for Larry Fitzgerald, comparing him to Peyton Manning because of his, quote, total obsession of knowing everything about the position, how to do things, and how to convey those to his teammates, end quote. Some thought it might be a cheap shot at Brady. I don't think it was that, but which receiver would you compare Tom Brady to?
Well, it would be like, who's the best slot receiver of all time? You know, like somebody who does it like with the little chunks and not the over the top, you know, kind of blow the doors off of you. But I mean, you have to say Jerry Rice, right? I mean, I think ultimately you have to say Jerry Rice, just consistent production, winning, the GOAT at their position. Jerry Rice made some spectacular plays, but I don't think Rice stands out to you for how spectacular he was, maybe like a Randy Moss. So I would have to go with the Tom Brady and Jerry Rice comparison. What's up next?
Another one.
And finally, the Saved by the Bell reboot, now streaming on Peacock. Who was your favorite Saved by the Bell character in the original?
A.C. Slater, I think. Did I catch myself sitting in a chair backwards at times? Perhaps. when you look at the totality of it, I think Zach has to be the most enduring character for, like, the way the show was built around him and the quips and everything like that. The dynamic with Kelly was, you know, he and Slater had that fight. That's what I never believed when they had the fight. Didn't Zach, like, win that fight? And Slater was the captain of the football team and the wrestling team. That always rubbed me the wrong way. But, yeah, I think he was my favorite when I was a kid. As an adult, it probably would be Zach in retrospect, because it's always that lead character like that that makes a show work, like how I make this show work. I'll be back next Saturday here on the Robin Lundberg Show, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Stay tuned for Ken Carmen here on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.